And Finey, he'll be with you tomorrow night after the footy. Of course, he is just a standard, again, of 11-16 SEN's footy coverage. And he joins us on a Thursday to have a look ahead at Finey. Every now and again, we get these rounds that are just a promoter's dream and delivered from heaven.
Are we station ratings bonanza?
Hello. Finey, now we found it. That's the reason.
Coming back.
That's it.
Oh,
you're walking around the studio, the office today like a peacock, and it's got nothing to do with you. It's all got to do with Mark Fine.
Direct correlation, I believe.
Finey, lovely to hear your voice.
No, it's all on Keith.
Thank you.
You know, the big head just got bigger. There's not a jumper that'll fit over it.
I've never known anyone get so excited about a 0.2 increase. But anyway,
we just had a laugh.
Well done, boys.
What a round. I mean, tonight's obviously full of anxiety for, you know, St Kilda and Doggies fans. But scrolling through, there is not a soft game on the schedule this weekend.
Pick eight winners and play fair. It's a really great round of football, made more interesting by, to me, the slightly better teams in the big clashes are away from home. So that just makes it so exciting for Collingwood, Carlton, Brisbane. I feel that the teams that they're playing, Port Adelaide, GWS and Geelong, are in better form, but they're away from home. So it's almost hand-picked, hand-matched. It's beautifully balanced right through.
It really is. So tonight, we took a few calls right at the top of the show from St Kilda and Doggies supporters about the anxiety levels they're feeling. And it feels like they are going into this game sharing the exact same mental headspace, each of them. How do we line these two up going into this game tonight?
Shonky versus untrustworthy. What a great game. It should be sponsored by a Persian carpet salesman. I mean, look, the problem with St Kilda is if a team's out of form, like Brisbane was early, and hit form, then you know that you can plot their game and you know that they're going to be very hard to beat. But when a side like St Kilda, who are so inconsistent during games, takes the field, it makes no difference if we're four goals up at quarter time. We're just waiting for the bad quarter. It's very hard to watch. And as for the Bulldogs, gee, without Ugal Hagen and Liberatore from last week's team, Essendon would have beaten them. I mean, Ugal Hagen was clearly their best, and Liber probably their better, or with Treloar, the better of the midfield. So take those two out, and last week they would have been decimated by Essendon. So these are two teams that one of them will come out of the game saying we're back on track, we're 3-3, we're going okay, and the other one will be scratching their head. So there's plenty on the line tonight, and both sets of supporters know only too well what it's like to fluff things up, you know, fluff their line. So no one's going to be comfortable until the final siren goes.
And is it one of those games for you where it feels like the fallout for the loser is going to be greater than whatever comes for the winner?
100%. Mm. 100%. You know, St Kilda are hanging their hat on the fact that the three games they lost were close. Well, that's a pretty ordinary hook to hang your hat on. And if they're 2-4, then the season starts slipping away. As for the Bulldogs, they missed the finals last year. The rumblings were good pre-season. And I can tell you from the final siren last week that their supporters are knives out for the coach.
Oh, yeah.
So again, Caleb Daniel doesn't play. We'll wait to see whether Bailey Dale is in the starting 22. He must be. He has to be in the starting 22. But we wonder what Luke Beveridge is playing at sometimes, to be honest. You know, a back line that had Lockie Bramble, Oscar Baker, a couple of other young players in the back line. No Caleb Daniel, the way they use the ball. Really?
Mm.
Anyhow, he's a stubborn man.
Yes, he is.
We'll see how it plays out.
So of those other games you mentioned with the better credentialed team so far this season being away from home, is there one of those games that's of most interest to you?
Well, I like Collingwood and Brisbane, both of those games, because if they both win, last year's grand finalists have shaken off the early season cobwebs and become viable top four contenders and premiership contenders again. But they have to win hard games. Geelong have been fantastic. It's funny, you know, Geelong have done absolutely everything right, but I think most people are tipping Brisbane. Port Adelaide have done most things right, and a lot of people are tipping Collingwood. Mm. I'm tipping both the home teams. So here we go, boys. It's really top four, almost 8-point games, aren't they?
They feel like there's a loading on them. There's no doubt about
it. It is.
That.
And what about...
And Carlton GWS. Actually, you know, six doesn't go into four, and I think there'd be most people's with Sydney. There's your top four. So, boy, it's... Are we playing the final? At the end of April?
Yeah. Hey, finally, Andy and I had a conversation in relation to the North Hawks game coming up, and just trying to get an assessment on, well, who's it more significant for? And both teams clearly are not going to be up there this season. But I think we had slightly different views on where we land on this one because of the list profiles.
Yeah, I really think it's more important for Hawthorn. They showed a lot in the last third of last season. And they take a ladder in snakes and ladders right back to the beginning if they lose this game. Honestly, they have been disappointing this year. We can talk about a different game style and players missing, but this is a side that beat Collingwood and Brisbane in the run home last year. We expected more from them. And if they don't win this game, they've slipped behind West Coast, who had a good win last week, and that's not... We give a lot of slack and a lot of time to rebuilding coaches, but no supporter group wants to see their team make advances and then go all the way back to the bottom of the ladder to start rebuilding again. So I actually think there's a heck of a lot on Hawthorn, and they need to show something.
I was really interested. We talked about this earlier in the week, about the kind of reaction from the two coaching groups after last week and in the lead-up to this one. And there was a real – anger's maybe too strong a word. It was certainly a frustration from Sam Mitchell, and then, you know, bring the mouth guards, and we see the training session last night, the vision from it, and he's, you know, I don't care if anyone gets corked, we're going to roll the dice here, and we're going to snap our blokes back into sort of the right headspace. And the quote, I wrote it down, when you hear a coach say of his midfield or several players in his team that we refused to embrace the contest, which is what he said of his team after the Gold Coast game, you're right to expect a spike, and I'd be shocked if we don't get something from Hawthorn that's a bit or significantly more competitive in this one.
Isn't that what their midfield offers?
Yep.
Warple, Newcomb?
Yeah.
Isn't it? I don't think anybody rates it as a classy, polished midfielder yet, but we certainly expect them to be tough and competitive because that's the DNA of those two players. And spreads to other members of the team, you know, Josh Ward, the Irish lad. That's how they're supposed to play their football. And it's interesting because you're a coach, but you're also a former player. And Sam Mitchell would have looked at his team's performance last week and said, you know what, I didn't play my football like that. And if I was captain of this team, I'd be pulling these blokes aside and having a strong, hard word to them. And then I'd go out and show them exactly how to play the game. It must be frustrating for him sitting in the coach's box. He must be, you know, itching to somehow be the player that they need, but he can't be.
That's true. And just before we let you go, Gazy's been in good form this week. set the agenda early this week with his revisiting the North Melbourne game last week against Gold Coast and 28 points down and then coming back and winning it, and the cost that they've incurred as a result of all that, seeing what we're seeing now over in the west coast of Australia with Harley Reid starting to do his thing. Where do you sit on this issue?
Oh, mate, I bought a 300c Chrysler once for a song, and I thought it was the greatest deal of all time. I thought it was the greatest win of all time. That thing spent more time at the mechanics than on the road. In other words, what seems like a win sometimes backfires. And nobody expects a team to lose, because we went back and saw that in history. We saw potentially Melbourne sort of admitting to it and years of malaise afterwards. So it's a terrible culture to even have the sniff around your club that you're better off losing than winning. But Harley Reid is going, for the next 10 to 15 years, make 17 clubs wish he was playing for them. Yeah. And North Melbourne was one loss on top of how many in a row? 14, 15 other ignominious losses. Nobody would have batted an eyelid. You know,
well, they had it when they were 28 down.
They certainly would have forgotten about it quickly.
What number do you want? What number are we giving this kid when they're 28 points down in the game? And now we know what's happening. So, finally, there's going to be a lot to pull apart, of course, Friday night. It's a big game tonight. It's a big game tomorrow night. Adelaide v Essendon as well. You'll be following, of course, with the final siren, mate. We'll be listening, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Brilliant, boys. Love being part of the show.
You're a good man.
Good man, Finey. Mate,
fine. He is the catalyst. Mm. There it is. Eat it. Eat a key.
Rating spiker.